Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. And we're looking for the high leverage strategies that actually work in today's market. And I knew I had to get Steve Turner on the mic today. Steve is the owner and operator of Solomon Turner PR, an award-winning agency in St. Louis. He is also the author of the book PR That Works, Real Strategies, Real Campaigns, Real Results, now available on Amazon. Steve, a big welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Hi, Adam. Thank you. Excited to be here. Looking forward
Absolutely.
To it.
Absolutely. 100%. And in the world of AI, where do you think most PR is happening today? So there's an example here that I wanted to kind of go out there and say. There's these big news media organizations such as Forbes and Business Insider and all these types of reputable places. But then there's also all of these, say, micro communities that are out there or smaller blogs. Where do you believe that most people should be focusing their PR efforts today?
Yeah, you kind of have to take a serious look and determine, A, what is your objective? B, what is the audience? And C, what is the message you're trying to get out? So if you can identify your audience on a macro level, that's the first step. People will say, well, our audience is women 25 to 54. Well, there's a big difference between a woman 25 years old and one that's 54. They have different interests, different likes. They're watching different programs and different things online. So where do you start? Well, you really need to define that person. If you're an engineer and you want to reach other engineering communities, how do you do that? Well, mass media in this case probably isn't a great idea, but if you can find engineering dedicated substacks or real niche journalistic endeavors that reach other engineers, newsletters, and things like that, and get mentioned in there, those are going to do you a lot more good than being in a daily newspaper or on a radio interview or something like that. So your efforts really need to be highly targeted. So I would say start there and then look and see what the message is. How do you differentiate your company from everybody else that's out there, break through the clutter, and elevate your brand? And if you're not able to do that, you really have to think hard, well, why aren't we doing PR in the first place? So I think that's very important. The audience and the message are huge. And the third thing, and maybe the most important, is the objective. What are we really trying to accomplish? People have an objective for sales and revenue and all these things. But what about PR? Where does it fit in? We want 20% growth next year. How are we going to do that? Where does PR fit in? Where does our brand fit in? Where does connecting to stakeholders in the community fit in? How does getting into all these niche publications fit in? So you kind of have to take a hard look at that, make that determination, and then say, okay, let's move forward. I think what's very important from a PR perspective is how do we implement that with sales and marketing? A lot of people mistakenly think PR is a lead device. It is not. It really isn't. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I could just get that big article in the newspaper or get that TV interview or whatever, sales are really going to increase. Well, sometimes they do a little bit, but it's not like buying Facebook ads or ads on LinkedIn or ads in a trade journal. It doesn't impact the same way. You're looking long-term results, building community, building awareness for your brand, and working, if you can, with the sales and marketing people to meet their goals and demands. And so you can increase revenue if you can work hand in hand with them, with their goals and their needs, and say, okay, how does PR fit in? We want to sell 100,000 toy trucks in the next 6 months. Okay, how does PR fit in with that? What can we do from a PR perspective to get that done? Well, let's think about that. We could have people come to the plant. We could show them how we're building toy trucks. We could do focus groups with kids and have them run the toy trucks around the factory and see how that's going. We could invite the media and TV cameras in to film some of this stuff so we get some mileage out of it. We could create videos and put that on social media, on Instagram, and all these things. So we get all these arsenals of tools that we're able to use and let the salespeople take some of these things and run with it. So all of a sudden, it's just not us saying we're great. It's a TV station we're saying we're great. It's a newspaper saying we're great. It's a trade journal saying we're great. And it's other people saying we're great. So you build a lot of credibility that way. And that's how you kind of increase sales and revenue if you do this whole thing right.
Absolutely. And this has me thinking, if we're going into, say, a partners or a media outlet, whatever it might be, you're talking Substack and all these types of things. So if we're looking at, say, a person's Substack, one problem that I've noticed, especially in PR, is people just do like press releases where it's basically the most boring thing you've ever seen on the entire planet. And one of the things I always like to talk to my clients about is the integration, right? How can you go ahead and actually create something that integrates so well with what this partner's already doing that everybody stops and says, oh my God, this is the framework that I actually need to be using. How do you go about tying in that integration into a partner? So when somebody's actually reading it, they're not looking at it as a boring story. They're looking at something that they actually truly need, that's hitting a pain point.
So a couple things there. One is how you work with the journalist, whether it's Substack or radio, television, whatever. You need to build up some kind of rapport with these people over time, especially the top tier media, like the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, Bloomberg, whatever, and figure out a way to connect with the right journalist at the right time. Send them some thoughts and ideas, maybe just start talking to them on X or some of these other social media places where they're located. And you just kind of build rapport. You don't even pitch them a story, but you kind of get them interested. You're commenting on other stories. Oh, this is real interesting, Bill. Really appreciate what you did here. Great insight. Things like that. And over time, they'll say, well, who do you represent or what do you've got going on? Anything we could use? And we've had that happen a bunch of times. And then you respond. And you can kind of put some good points out there, not a news release, but some very interesting background stuff on a client and get these people excited. Oh, yeah, we're going to cover a story on toy trucks. This is real interesting. Or we're going to cover a story about cosmetics, and this fits right in. So you kind of know who the reporter is and what they cover. Very important to target the right journalists, too. Some may cover finance, but they may not cover banking. So you may have a client that's in the banking business and you send somebody that's in overall finance some news and stuff. You say, well, that's not my bailiwick. You need to talk to so-and-so about that. There's different things. Restaurants and cooking can be two entirely different beats for reporters, where if you send a food guy something about a restaurant, he may not be interested at all. If you send him a recipe, maybe he is, and vice versa. So you really need to hone in on the right targets for your journalistic endeavors to make sure you're on the right track. So I would start there and then figuring out what they write about and then what makes interest in their articles. What do you want to see? I mean, if they're just rewording press releases and putting that in their Substacks, it's probably not a good Substack. But if they're putting, you know, a different angle to it or a twist to something that you didn't know about, that's really important. That's the ones that are going to have a lot of followers because they're bringing something new to the party. And I think those are the people you want to chase. And it's like, well, okay, this is a great article. My client kind of fits some of that. Maybe I can interest the writer into doing an article about my client because I've got some things that I think would really fit with his interests and what he likes to write about. And so you can kind of work with that and kind of whet their appetite and take it from there, as opposed to just sending general information, you know, revenue increased 20% in the third quarter and all that stuff.
What sort of hooks have you seen go ahead and really win, right? Like, I mean, because there's this general type of stuff. Hey, we had a launch. We have a new product out. We did this. We did that, right? And I feel like most journalists honestly just don't care because they get that so many times. What sort of hooks have you been seeing or what sort of assets have you given to these journalists where they say, I have to have this. This is an important piece that I need to write about.
Yeah, one that really stands out is a company in St. James, Missouri called Cohen Woodworking. And the founder kind of rebuilt his life through woodworking. He was an addict, and this is general knowledge. And he became addicted to a lot of stuff. And people suggested, why don't you try woodworking as a way to kind of combat alcoholism and all these other things? And he said, yeah, okay. So he did that, and he started making porch swings out of wood and all these things. And people liked him. His neighbors saw him, thought this was great. And then pretty soon they told him, well, you should go after some commercial business. So he and his wife and kids worked around the clock, and they ended up with the Walmart account to put all these shelving units and different things in Walmarts across the country. And it was a great story, a second chance kind of story. But it only began from there, because then he started hiring second chance individuals to work at his plant. And he thought, well, if I could do it, so can they. So he would hire people that probably wouldn't be hired by normal businesses that you would think of, but he took a chance on them. And a lot of them have gone on to really successful careers in that company. So that was a terrific background story. And people just really picked up on that. I mean, the Associated Press got that and ran it in about 500 places, you know, ABC. I mean, it was just all over the place, television, radio, all kinds of print stuff. So that was something that's really different and really grabbed the attention of the writers all over the country. So if you, not everybody has that angle, obviously, but for those that, you know, there's always something. Everybody has a story, right? So there's always something within a business. And even if it's not the CEO or the owner, it could be an employee. Oh, he's run 10 marathons in the last 6 months or something like that. Maybe there's a great backstory that identifies as the individual, but also builds a brand of the company in the same light. So you kind of have to dig deep and think out of the box and, you know, what do we have that a journalist would really like to write about? And what do we have that could attract some TV cameras and get some nice coverage? So it has to be visual, obviously, if you're thinking television, they just don't want a talking head. So you have to have something for them to show. So if you can think along those lines and come up with a great angle, you know, the sky's the limit on what can happen.
Absolutely, 100%. And Steve, for those who are listening, where can they go to learn more about you?
Yeah, they can go to our website, solomonturner.com, SOLOMONTURNER.com. They could go to Amazon and get a copy of this PR that works. And this has great information in it, not to toot my own horn, but a lot of people asked me to come up with a book that was less comprehensive and easier to understand than a textbook, and not involving behavioral economics and all this kind of, you know, jargon that they could understand. And so I actually ended up writing it. And there's 28 strategies in there, 14 case studies that can be modeled. There's 4 interviews with top PR professionals from across the country, and all kinds of really good information that, you know, you may want to read it once, pick it up again, you get stuck, or, oh, here's a similar case study on an author that really found success that's in the book, or a classic car dealer, Dan Schmidt, Classic Cars in St. Louis, we help them, that's in the book. Staging special events, that's in the book. Crisis communications, we touch on that, that's in the book. So there's all kinds of great references and case studies in here for people to use. So I would go there, go to our website, and you can see me on LinkedIn. We post a lot, and you can get my profile that way.
Amazing. Steve, thank you so much. What great information you were able to share about PR.
Thank you. Good to be here. And if anybody has any questions, they can always email me, sturner@solomonturner.com. I'll be happy to respond.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Simple Wins.
Thanks.